What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful Select's Backstage Report podcast for January 1st, 2024. Let me tell you, it is a good month and a better year for you to be a Fightful Select subscriber. I don't have to sell you the service. You're here unless you're pirating it. In which case, head over to FightfulSelect.com because I don't know how else to put this. There is going to be so much news that it is just insane. There are days when I'm like, oh my gosh, will I ever get another scoop again? And then weeks, weekends, days like this happen. And I'm like, oh yeah, we're going to be all right for a few decades. We'll be okay. There was no Fightful Wrestling Weekly last week or Backstage Report last week. But here we are covering the last couple of weeks leading into Christmas. And it is contract season. And this is something that I've been telling you all about for a very long time. This period that we are in right now is going to be one of the most interesting free agent periods or contract periods in wrestling history. We've already seen it with Bayley, who we confirmed re-signed a multi-year deal, seen as a priority for WWE, somebody that they were very adamant they wanted to keep because of not just her in-ring, but her outside-the-ring performances. Dominic Mysterio signed a multi-year contract. Who has gotten just incredibly over. Right now, QT Marshall, Alex Hammerstone, Sean Spears, Deonna Purrazzo, Camille, all hit the free agent market. Andrade, just leaving AEW. That relationship came to an end. PW Insider and Wrestle Purist had some details on that, and a Fightful Select learned this week that AEW were no longer set to work with Andrade. The deal was expired. Tony Khan confirmed as much. Everybody expected it to culminate at the World's End show. It did. He is expected to join WWE. That is the internal chatter. And a lot of people thought that in connection to this day one rumor. Some of you say, well, what day one rumor? So in the midst of poking around about everything on Friday, as you know, I get access to live events reports and some producer lists and the like, sometimes some memos within the company. And there was one touting a potential former WWE champion appearing on WWE Raw day one. So the snowball that this unraveled led to information about Mercedes, Andrade, WWE Raw day one. So I had posted that information. Triple H actually later gave some credibility to it, saying stay tuned. I was shocked to see that. But I had posted underneath, guys, I don't know who it is. It could be Bob Backlund or Sasha Banks. And then a WWE source in the know, and followed up with several others, said, no, it ain't going to be Sasha. Because Mercedes and WWE had been in talks. They were too far apart on terms, and those talks ceased. They were friendly talks, but they had discussed bringing her back to the company. Now, they expect her to appear elsewhere very soon, but I'll tell you what. If there is one person I think in wrestling that would have started negotiations with WWE, picked them up with somebody else, only to go back to WWE and say, yeah, let's make this deal, it's her. Or telling everybody else to piss off, you know what, I'll go to Wrestle Kingdom. I'll go to TNA Hard to Kill, etc. So we were told it wasn't Mercedes. Again, you never know until it happens with her. Well, then that led to us finding out about the Andrade thing and that he was finishing up at AEW World's End. Well, today, we flat out asked, is it The Rock? He was in Pasadena. We were told, well, you're making a compelling case, but not any details about whether it is or isn't. As of right now, as I'm filming this at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, the person isn't known to talent or creative, and as of now, they have a segment in the middle of the show. But man, it doesn't stop there, just news all over the place. MJF is expected to take some time off. For those asking, I expect that he is re-signed. However, here's the situation. As I've highlighted numerous times, he will never tell anybody that. He won't tell his friends. He won't tell his coworkers. He won't tell people in WWE or AEW or anything. I can assume. That's what most people assume. However, he is hurt. He is in very rough shape physically and needs to take time to heal. Kevin Dunn out of WWE. I'm told that the changes that we're going to feel are immediate. PW Insider with a big one this weekend. Mike Johnson learning that Kevin Dunn didn't want to alter his production style post-TKO compared to how he oversaw it. We did find out that there was a memo issued from Nick Khan. He said that Kevin Dunn will remain a part of the family. You can read the extended memo on Fightful Select as well, but that is a major, major departure. Sean Spears finishing up with AEW. He may have been let out of that deal a little bit early. I'm working to find out that, but Spears did confirm our report and spoke very highly of AEW. You had Camille. She is finishing up with NWA. She had an option that would have seen her through the middle of the year, but she gave her notice to the company back in October, and now she's set to hit free agency. El Fantasmo and Hikaleo spoke with us ahead of Wrestle Kingdom. El Fantasmo said that his contract is up at the end of January. Unbelievable. I don't think Hikaleo's is up then. Another person who is, Deonna Purrazzo. She let Impact know that she was not looking to re-sign there. And as best I know, she will not be returning to Impact Wrestling as of this moment. Leo Rush tells Graps that he wants to sign somewhere. QT Marshall on the market right now. Doesn't want to be just a backstage personality. He wants to wrestle in the ring. I think the Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling trademark is in relation to him as well. Charlotte Flair, a couple weeks ago, we reported she has signed a multi-year extension that makes her one of the highest paid women in WWE history. And that, of course, extends to pro wrestling history. Now, I want to clarify some things because it plays into our next story that we're about to talk about regarding Cody Rhodes. There is an amount provided that covers a bus, which you know are life changers from what I understand as far as pro wrestling travel. However, that isn't necessarily a part of the contract, a bus, so to speak. So, Cody Rhodes ended up getting a new bus around Thanksgiving. This led to many in the company thinking that Cody Rhodes actually signed a new deal. Many talent were like, oh, well, he got a new bus. I'm told that they were trying to get that bus well before they actually got it. And Fightful Select reported that WWE is looking to extend Cody Rhodes' contract for multiple years. Wrestling Observer reported that the deal was done in October. However, it was reiterated to me, as close to Cody Rhodes as possible, that the deal was offered in October, but has not been officially signed yet. Now, I saw a lot of people saying he has the chance to do the funniest thing ever. He's not going to AEW. He's not going anywhere else. He's staying with WWE. It is a 99.5% guarantee this man is staying with WWE. He is the WWE logo. And it's not a situation where I'm assuming the motivations of him. I was outright told it's a formality. He's planning to sign it. That's where he's staying. As opposed to Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch down the road, and people are saying, well, there's no way he'd leave. You don't know. And I have not been told one way or another by Becky or Seth or WWE or anything like that about them. But with Cody, I've been outright told he's staying. He's expected to sign this multi-year extension. And yeah, the new bus is what got a lot of people thinking that he had already signed. Rey Mysterio signed a new multi-year deal with WWE as well. They are hammering home these big extensions. So I am waiting to hear about Drew McIntyre. I'm waiting to hear about Sheamus, about Becky Lynch, about Seth Rollins. And that's just the WWE side of things. When you look at the nature of contracts in wrestling, and I think right now we've covered most of the contracts that we have discussed about, right? Before we even get to AEW departures, you have a major star in Impact in Deonna leaving and going elsewhere. The top woman in NWA for the last several years, Camille, going. MLW just said goodbye to Hammerstone. They're bringing people in on per appearance deals. They might have some WWE settlement funds coming their way. AEW say they're going to be very active in free agency, and they are no longer paying Sean Spears, Andrade, or QT Marshall. Now, Andrade is a phenomenal performer, and I think QT and Sean Spears are as well, but the latter two were sparingly used on AEW TV. Well, how much money does that free up? With AEW's roster looking the way that it does, do you want to spend that on three individual talents, or do you want to go after a bigger talent with those same funds? Well, I know what I would do in this situation. I'd probably go after one. That's why when everybody said, where do you expect Mercedes? Well, I expect AEW to be like, okay, the positive momentum we need is for Mercedes. That's where I expect her to end up, is AEW. However, Mercedes is a smart, savvy businesswoman. She will negotiate and leverage and all that stuff. And I know WWE had said that they walked away because the terms weren't right. In any contract negotiation that doesn't work out, one side will think that the other is unrealistic and they're not willing to pay it, and the other side will think that they're getting lowballed. That's just the nature of an agreement like that doesn't come to be. Oh man, I am so excited for just this year in pro wrestling. I'm so excited. I think there's going to be a lot of positivity surrounding it. Some AEW departures that we had reported. Dana Massey, the wife of Young Bucks' Matt Jackson, is departing the company. She let them know back in, I think, October that she was going to wrap up. However, there was some truth to what Dave Meltzer said about how she didn't feel like the company handled the Punk stuff with the way that they should have, and I'm working to find out a little bit more detail on that. But also, even though I've never heard anything negative said about her personally, the merchandise department in AEW is lacking. They should have so many more options than what they have. Like, they should have MJF scarves and Orange Cassidy sunglasses. They have Young Bucks money ties and All In London scarves, but they don't have MJF scarves. They don't have branded Orange Cassidy sunglasses. They don't have a card blade. They got to do better with that stuff. Raphael Morphy, who has been the vice president of live events and touring, is leaving to go to work with the Barclays Center. I mean, live event and touring is something that they have needed improvement on and probably some fresh people involved in for quite some time. So he is, you know, a person that Tony Khan thinks a lot of. But I also don't think that going in a different direction is necessarily the worst thing. And if they want to come back, maybe they can come back in adjusted or different roles if it's worked out with other people. Scotty Too Hotty's been there as a coach, and he made his AEW debut at Orlando at New Year's Smash prior to the show. He teamed with the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass. I'm told that it has been brought up to him about wrestling there before, but it's finally happened, and they have the ability to use the original Too Cool theme because it's in the same video library as the Hardys theme. So they acquired the license to use the Hardys theme. And in the, I think it's the Extreme Music Library or something, in that was the Too Cool one, and also Crash and Hardcore Holly. So if for some reason Bob Holly pops up, they can use that. Or they could put him in the video game or whatever that might be. We had an update on Ted Turner. Somebody asked about that in a recent Q&A, and I always tell you guys, if I don't have the answer for you then, I'm going to try to find the answer for you. We were asked about that, especially after the Ben Mankiewicz Turner Classic Movies situation where they brought him in for the intro for Timeless Tony Storm. It was reported 5 years ago that Turner has Lewy body dementia. He rarely makes public appearances, but is technically co-chairs of foundations and companies. He was actually surrounded by hundreds of his friends, family, and colleagues for his 85th birthday party in Atlanta in November. He's trying to raise some money and awareness for Lewy body dementia of late. But he's not going to be making a lot of personal appearances. So, important note, as we film this, right smack dab in the middle of filming it, we're told that Nick Khan is in Pasadena at the site of College Game Day where The Rock is, hanging out with The Rock. This is now who we expect, as of now, to appear on WWE Raw Day 1. Going to be a big-ass show if that were to come true, but that's who we're expecting as of right now. Also, some changes in relation to MJF. New AEW belt, or at least redesign, is set. We posted a picture on FightfulSelect.com. Also, they've got removable side plates, and they've got a black background around some of the AEW logos. We would expect to see that, if not this week, then next week. We had a bunch of interviews last week. Leo Rush talking about free agency. Alan Angels talking about transitioning from AEW over to TNA. That one actually drops tomorrow, and we've got the notes up on Fightful Select already. But we also spoke to Deanna about her free agency, and she said that she is excited, optimistic. I think that she's going to get signed very, very quickly. I can't imagine her being on the free agent market for very long. Fightful Award nominees have been announced. It is on my Twitter right now. They're going to be up on Tuesday. I am so excited. Last year we had so many great talent that sent in acceptance speeches and accepted trophies and the like. We were just so honored, especially by the Mark Briscoe one, where we were told that he gave that award to Jay Briscoe's wife. That was the most validating, satisfying thing maybe of my career, that one of our awards was worthy enough to be on that family's mantle. So I want to say that I'm very excited again for this. As planned, I think Denise is going to be doing the show with me. But I love this, and I hope that it's a thing for years to come. If you would like to sponsor an award on the Fightful Awards, let me know. It is $100 per read on this. You will also get a link and read in our description, and it will be underneath the award announcement on our Twitter as well, which will obviously be signal boosted by me. So yeah, if you ever wanted to get involved or sponsor a specific award, just let me know. We also posted an interview with Eric Ademia, who is nominated in the Best Rookie of the Year award. Now, this award is one for people who have had their first match, our first real match, after June 15th, 2022. But that's a really great interview, a person you're going to be seeing a lot of in the years to come. So go ahead and check out that interview. We dropped a whole bunch. A whole lot of notes as well from Raw, SmackDown, the last couple of weeks, even the taped shows. But Kazuchika Okada and Barry Bloom, we're told that nothing is official in that regard as of yet, but Bloom has been after higher profile targets. WWE hit the merchandise stands heavy with Punk merchandise for the MSG show. Vince McMahon was not there. WWE was very pleased with the buzz that that show got in general, including the 1 million viewers that CM Punk and Dominic got via pirated clips within a day. WWE did have cameras at that show, as they do for every live event, but said that parts of that show could end up airing later on. I think that was the highest grossing non-televised event in North American history for WWE. Corey Brennan had a couple of good stories for us. The good news that Ilya Dragunov is not actually injured. It is just an angle. I know a lot of people don't agree with the angle, but Corey did some great work immediately when people were concerned getting that information. He was also told that many working WWE SmackDown didn't even know that the WWE Speed Show was happening until shortly before that show. We've learned that the plan for that is for it to run on social media if they ever do launch it. Don't know how they'll make sense of it, but he also reported that the Randy Orton theme song that was considered for a change did one playthrough live in the arena and decided to scrap it. We followed up on the Samantha Irvin noting it wasn't her call to scrap the Chelsea Green entrance comment. Now, we had reported it was a WWE higher-up, and there were some people that were like, well, duh, obviously it's a higher-up. That's not the way this works. There can be people that have more say in particular departments. Higher-ups is generic speak and long has been of someone in the company with an immense amount of power. And there are certain people that are production directors or even producers for matches that don't have said immense amount of power, but they might have more say over something like the style of which a person is announced. And we're told that there are a lot of people pushing to have that back. Nobody in TNA that we've spoken to knows who their big signing is supposed to be. Just an FYI. Stu Grayson officially still on the AEW roster. Santana is as well, for those that were asking. WWE had one of their most successful live event trips ever in the States, based on sources we spoke to. Also, ahead of the teaser airing on the SmackDown a couple of weeks ago, we reported that AOP would be returning to the show and that they have actually been under contract for well over a year. Britt Baker, DMD, was backstage at Wednesday's Orlando show. She was not used on the program, was backstage visiting. The MJF article that ran in the Players Tribune, I spoke to a source near that said that it was on par with some of their bigger NBA, soccer, NFL articles, got an incredible amount of attention for them. Just great work there. Great work there, and huge buzz for him and his situation, in which, again, I expect he is re-signed, but I don't expect to see him anytime soon. And the pay-per-view in general did great work with that. I mean, very passionate. So now that I can finally publish it, we got a pretty big one. Mercedes Moné likely narrowing down a decision on her future. Fightful reported last week that the former Sasha Banks had been in conversations with WWE about a potential return to the company, but the two sides were far apart on terms. In following up, we've learned that Mercedes has resumed conversations with All Elite Wrestling just a month after it looked like the sides couldn't come to terms. Beyond that, those in the industry that we have spoken to say that AEW is the likely landing point. Those that we've spoken to expect her to land there, though nobody would confirm she'd signed on the dotted line. Of late, in both WWE and AEW, there have been instances, specifically with Will Ospreay and CM Punk, where the physical contracts were not signed until the day of their appearances. One source claimed that they heard that AEW and Mercedes were close to agreeing on terms, but said it's never official until it's official. Mercedes was said to have been seeking one of the largest contracts in women's wrestling history, but we don't know if that has altered or changed along the way. WWE sources claimed that the former WWE champion rumored to appear on day one was not Mercedes. The rest of this is personal opinion. I could not agree more with the "it ain't over till it's over" aspect. And if there is one talent savvy enough to have conversations with AEW, which we know happened, then go to WWE, those conversations fall apart. Back to AEW, looking like it's crossing the finish line, and then say, you know what? I will accept this deal over here for a lot more. I believe that could be Mercedes. So again, I want to reiterate this. It ain't over till it's over. It wouldn't surprise me if she hopped a flight to Japan. But as of right now, those in the industry believe that she is going to All Elite Wrestling. Guys, thank you all so much. Until next time, we're out.